The science stories today are legitimately extraordinary, and I want to give them the attention they deserve rather than treating them as curiosity items. Start with Oxford's observation of Einstein's gravity in the quantum world, 227 points, 65 comments. The experiment, published by researchers at the University of Oxford, claims to have observed gravitational effects on quantum systems at a scale and precision that hasn't been demonstrated before.
The significance here is hard to overstate in physics terms. General relativity and quantum mechanics are the two most successful theories in the history of science, and they are formally incompatible with each other. They make conflicting predictions at the scales where both should apply, near black holes, at the Planck scale, and physicists have been trying to reconcile them for a century. Any experimental evidence about how gravity behaves in quantum systems is genuine signal in a space that's been data-starved for decades.
The HN comments are appropriately careful. Several physicists in the thread are noting that observing Einstein's gravity in the quantum world is a headline framing, and the actual claim needs to be parsed carefully. The experiment appears to be about observing gravitational decoherence, the idea that gravity causes quantum superpositions to collapse at a new level of experimental control. That's not the same as unifying relativity and quantum mechanics, but it's a meaningful empirical step.
The Navier-Stokes piece is mathematics at the frontier, and the score of 301 with 155 comments tells you the HN community engaged deeply with it. Tristan Buckmaster's PDF from NYU is apparently a research statement or monograph related to progress on the Navier-Stokes existence and smoothness problem, which is one of the 7 Millennium Prize problems, each carrying a $1 million prize from the Clay Mathematics Institute.
For listeners who aren't deep into mathematics, the Navier-Stokes equations describe the motion of fluid, water, air, everything that flows. They're used in weather modeling, aircraft design, ocean circulation models. The mathematical question, whether smooth solutions always exist for all time, or whether they can blow up into singularities, has been open since 1900 and is among the most difficult unsolved problems in mathematics. Buckmaster has been one of the most prominent researchers working toward demonstrating that blow-up can occur.
The HN thread has some excellent comments from mathematicians explaining what Buckmaster's approach involves technically, specifically the use of convex integration schemes and intermittency in the construction of weak solutions. This is not light reading, but the comments make a genuine effort to bridge the gap between the technical content and what a mathematically literate non-specialist can understand.
Google DeepMind's WeatherNext 3 had 341 points and 84 comments, and it represents a different kind of scientific achievement, applied machine learning producing a weather forecasting model that competes with, and in some regimes outperforms, the European Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts model, which is the traditional gold standard for global weather prediction.
WeatherNext 3 is the third iteration of DeepMind's neural weather model, and the improvements over WeatherNext 2 apparently include better tropical cyclone tracking and improved precipitation forecasting at longer lead times. The operational significance is considerable. Weather forecasting at this accuracy level has direct economic value in agriculture, aviation, energy grid management, and increasingly, climate adaptation planning.
ARM's Mali G2 Ultra NX GPU announcement rounds out the hardware side, 48 points, 34 comments. The claim is desktop-class mobile gameplay with AI-native graphics, which packs a few distinct claims. Desktop-class mobile gaming is a competitive benchmark that GPU vendors make regularly. The AI-native framing refers to using neural networks for tasks that traditionally required explicit graphics pipeline steps, upscaling, anti-aliasing, frame interpolation, which is the mobile implementation of techniques that AMD and NVIDIA have deployed on discrete GPUs.
The HN comments are appropriately skeptical about benchmark claims until third-party testing is available. But the underlying architecture trend, using dedicated AI accelerator hardware within the GPU to handle what used to be shader-based work, is real and significant. The integration of matrix multiply units into mobile GPUs is the same design logic that's driving inference efficiency on server hardware, just at a very different power envelope.
Now, I want to do something we do regularly on this show, use the most confident technical claim of the episode and push on it honestly. And today, I think that claim is the weather forecasting narrative around WeatherNext 3. The story we tell is, neural weather models trained on decades of atmospheric data are going to replace or substantially displace physics-based numerical weather prediction. DeepMind, Huawei's Pangu Weather, and others are competitive with the ECMWF model on standard benchmarks. The community confidence in this direction is high.
And I share that confidence up to a point. But let me push on the assumption underneath it. Traditional numerical weather prediction, NWP, is grounded in physics. It's solving approximations of the actual partial differential equations governing atmospheric dynamics. When it fails because the physics is poorly resolved or the initial conditions are uncertain. Neural models learn statistical patterns from historical data. When they fail in ways that are harder to characterize and potentially harder to trust in novel atmospheric states.
That's the core vulnerability. The historical training data for a neural weather model reflects the climate of the past century. As climate change accelerates, we're moving into atmospheric conditions that are statistically underrepresented in that training corpus. Record sea surface temperatures, novel jet stream behavior, atmospheric river patterns at new latitudes, these are exactly the situations where a physics-based model might extrapolate reasonably from first principles, while a statistical model might fail quietly.
Fail quietly is the key phrase. A physics-based model that makes a wrong forecast does so in ways that forecasters have learned to recognize and partially correct for. A neural model that's operating outside its training distribution might produce confident-sounding output that gives no signal it's in novel territory.
The question I'd want answered before operationally relying on neural weather models for high-stakes decisions is, what does the uncertainty quantification look like in out-of-distribution conditions? Not benchmark performance on historical events, but calibration in genuinely novel atmospheric states. If the answer is we're not sure, that's the signal to watch. Watch for whether the major weather services publishing comparisons between physics-based and neural models are specifically stress-testing the neural models on events from the last 2 or 3 years, events the model may not have seen in training, rather than the more comfortable historical validation period.
That's the right diagnostic. Calibration on recent, post-training data. If WeatherNext 3 and its successors maintain their accuracy advantage on events from 2025 and 2026, specifically, the case for displacement of physics-based modeling gets much stronger. If the advantage narrows in those conditions, it tells you something important about where the models actually stand.